and I kind of felt like an idiot. I went to get up, and nothing worked. I'm sitting there like, well, I just kept looking in the case. Finally, I reached, and I found something a little solid, and I'm like, okay. Man, I stood up, and Jessie's, my daughter, she's looking at me like, good grief, Dad. She didn't say nothing. She left it alone. That was good. I tell you, it's scary, though, when you bend down there like that, and it's like kind of an odd feeling. You go to get up, and nothing's getting you up. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I told them this morning, I said, now, you need to be here tonight. I'm going to preach on doing things our way out of Genesis. And so anyway, Hebrews chapter 11. And I'll find the verse here in a minute, because apparently that wasn't the verse, because I just looked at it and it's like, nope, that wasn't it. Ah, verse 21, I was off one. Hebrews 11, 21, it says, by faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Let's bow. Our most kind and gracious Lord, we thank you for this day and truly the blessings that you give us. And Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts and minds to your word. Help us, Lord, to take it in, to receive it, Lord, but not only just to hear it, but Lord, to put it to work in our lives, which will be in other people's lives. Let us become, Lord, a river of life to other people that they can see Jesus in us and want what we have. Lord, we thank you for it. Hide me behind that cross. Nothing to do with me. It's all about Jesus. And in his name I pray, amen. Now, I mentioned this morning about doing things our own way. And people, I had a few people say, oh, you're going to preach at me. That just told me a lot. But anyway, if I run off, don't worry about it. I'm trying to keep my nose from bleeding. It was bleeding earlier today. But anyway, so Jacob was one of those guys. Jacob liked to do things his own way. And it got him in trouble. You ever done that, do things your own way? And then you wish you hadn't. You know, because it all turned into a mess, is what happened. It and then it's twice as work to get back to where you needed to be. Jacob was one of them guys. Now, I'll tell you a little bit about Jacob. I don't want to read all of it. And I'll let you think on this. You ever wondered why Jacob was leaning on his staff? Just think on that one. But Jacob, he was a twin with a guy named Esau. Esau is not the best person in the world, but neither was Jacob. Now, by the way, the Jacob's name, which is also my name in Hebrew, James, it means trickster. He was good at doing that. Now, Jacob, when they were born, he was hanging on to Esau's ankle when they come out of the womb. That's pretty interesting. The Bible tells us that over in Genesis. And Jacob, all his life, wanted to do things his way, and of course we do too. Esau, by rights, was supposed to get all the birthrights. He was supposed to get all the blessings. Everything in that day come down to the firstborn son of the family. And he was going to be double portion of everything that, you know, dad had, who was, what was his name? Isaac. And so Isaac loved Esau. Esau was that man of men, you know. He was hairy and he was a hunter, and he was just that guy, you know. And Jacob was a little more on the timid side, and he was kind of a mama's boy when you read about him. And so mama come up with a scheme because she wanted to get Jacob the blessings. Now, I've always looked at that story, and I'm like, well, he cheated Esau out of all this stuff. But actually, it needed to be. When you study up on Esau, you find out that Esau did not take all of these things serious. Esau didn't see it the way it should have been seen. The birthright was an important thing in that day. And Esau just didn't really care. Matter of fact, Esau come in one day because apparently Jacob was a pretty good cook. And he had made some food, and Esau comes in like he's dying. You know, oh, I'm starving. You ever been really hungry? And it's like whatever you can get a hold of, you know. And Esau came in from hunting, and he was really, really hungry. I used to hunt. I gave it up. I got tired of shooting them poor little deer and elk. And no, actually, I moved to Nevada, and it's cheaper not to go hunting. It's like $700 an elk tag if I go to Colorado, and I'm like, I ain't doing that. I hunted most of my life. And when you're out there running up and down the mountains and you're tracking deer and elk and stuff, it's pretty amazing how much energy you're using. And you come in, yeah, you're hungry. But here he is, he comes in, and Jacob's got some pottage made. It's good stuff, you know, kind of like what I make, Amy. It's good stuff. Man, I make some soup. It's like, mmm. And he says, I want some soup, feed me. Jacob, pretty wise. Jacob says, well, give me your birthright. Well, now, if my sister said that to me, I'd be like, wait a minute. This ain't a good trade here. Personally, I'd go find me something. They got Burger King. You know, I mean, you know, for all I know, they might have Canaan King down there. I don't know. But he could have went and got him a burger or something. But yeah. What's Esau do? Yeah, I'm sell it. What good is it anyway? Yeah. Yeah, I ain't much good anyhow. So Jacob gets his birthright. Well, Esau, Isaac ain't going to do that. He ain't going to go for this. You know, Mama done figured that out. She's already thought, you know, Isaac, he ain't going to go for this. So they all I can say is he really couldn't see. They put this wool on his arms, and man, Esau must have been a hairy dude. You know, my neighbor, he come out of the house the other day, and I ain't kidding. I took a double take because I'm like, he didn't have a t-shirt on. Anyhow, you know, they put the wool on Jacob's arms and put some, you know, made it stink. You ever smelt deer hide? Man, there ain't nothing nastier than deer and elk. They stink. Of course, they ain't had a bath since they was born. And so he goes in there, and Esau's like, yeah, smell like it. Hey, come here, son, Esau. But he knew something was awry. But he never really pulled it out. He said, let me feel your arms. That's why I said he must have been a hairy dude, because, yeah. Listen, sheep are hairy. Well, they got that, what is it, wool. Man, they got that. So, and then he said, you smell like Esau. He said, you feel like Esau, but your voice, is something wrong? Yeah. You know, I'm here, Esau now. I mean, Jacob now. Well, I got a cold. You know, but he blessed him. Now, from that day forward, Esau had determined, because Esau realized what he had done. Esau was so wrapped up with materialistic junk that he just didn't see the importance. But Jacob, on the other hand, saw the importance. Jacob was, even though he was a trickster, and even though he'd done some strange things, and they kind of conned their way around things, Jacob still did listen to God in his own way. But it's all about Jacob's way.
Yes.
See, amen. We have a problem in our lives that we still want to do it our way.
Amen.
It ain't
amen.
Our way. I'm going to just be up front with you. It's God's way.
Yes.
Now, you've heard the saying, well, it's either my way or the highway. It ain't. God don't look at it that way. It's either God's way, or sometimes he allows you to do it your way. And then You see, I like this preacher friend of mine. He preached one time, and he says, you know, he said, we can't do it our way. He said, this ain't like Burger King, have it your way. He said, it's Wendy's, all hot and juicy and old-fashioned. And you got to stick to the Word of God. And that's what God wanted him to do, but he didn't. Esau figured out, hey, I done messed up. Esau said, I'm going to kill you. Now, that's a bad deal because he's a good hunter. He no doubt is strong. You go out, listen, in their day, they didn't have Jeeps like we've got. You know, I shot a deer one time, and I felt bad. I pulled up in my pickup, me and my dad, and my dad said, well, I'm going to go off up here. And I said, well, I'm going to go down here. And literally, I get out of the pickup, and there's a tree about where the back doors are, front doors are there. And I get out of my pickup, and I grabbed my rifle, and I walk out there, and I walked about this far from my pickup, and I heard a racket coming up this little four-wheel drive road, and I'm like, what we got? Just as soon as they topped the little hill, it was a whole drove of deer.
Oh, man.
And they turned. When they saw me, they're like, you know, and they hung left. Bad move. Because when they got sideways, boom, I dropped him solid. But I saw one run off. And I'm thinking, well, I didn't hit him right. So my dad comes walking back up because he said, what is going on? He said, what? I said, well, I just shot a buck. I said, well, we got to go find him. Well, he walks over there. He said, no, we ain't got to find nothing. He's right here. Well, there was another one with him. So I felt bad. I got him, walked back over here 10 foot, got my pickup, drove over there to the tree, got him up in there, cinched him up the tree, and drained him out real good, and then just backed my pickup up and laid him down. No work to it. And then somebody stole my antlers. Can you believe that?
Oh.
Nice set of antlers, too, man. The base was like that. They were right at 3 foot apart. They were huge. And I was moving one time. We went in Texas Roadhouse, and when I come out, they were gone. I'm like, you know, that's sorry to steal a man's antlers. You know, he's running around telling everybody how he shot this deer. Lying. Anyway, all right, I got it back where we was at. Which that had a part to do with it. See, Esau was no wimp. It takes a lot to knock down a 900-pound elk and then haul him out of the mountains. You know, and I don't know how big the animals were over there, but it took a lot to do all that. That's the kind of man he was. So he told Jacob, he said, I'm going to kill you. Well, Jacob, mama says, you need to get.
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes, and listen, we've all heard about Jacob's ladder. And the Lord tried to convince him, you know, hey, I'm going to bless you. And listen, Jacob was blessed. All his life, God was blessing him. Now, you back up on your life and you tell me, has God blessed you in your life, even though maybe you ain't been living like we ought to? Well, he has. Listen, I can look back on before I even trusted the Lord as my Savior, and I can see where he had his hand upon me all those years.
Yeah.
Doing stupid things, getting into things I shouldn't have. But he was right there with me the whole time protecting me.
Amen.
Even though I wanted to do it all my way. See, I was one of them people. I mean, I grew up hearing the gospel. I was one of them people, well, you know, one of these days I'll get to. I don't want to do that now. Because I'm young. I got some garbage I want to get into. You know, there ain't nothing like getting in the trash. You know, now you may fart the next day, but there ain't nothing like digging in the trash. You know, it's like, hey, and that's what we wanted to do. But the Lord still protected me.
Yes.
Well, and then when I got saved, now I know in 1984 when I trusted the Lord, it's like I'm going to heaven. Tried to get on the right, but then you got all of that other stuff that pulls you away. You know, it's tugging at you. And you still, then you finally get to thinking, well, yeah, but I can do it my way. I mean, I'm serving the Lord. I'm coming to church. I'm putting a little money in the plate. You know, a little bit. And I'm wanting to serve the Lord my way. Well, it don't work. You see, that's what Jacob was doing. Jacob was wanting to serve the Lord in his way. And the Lord blessed him. I mean, he goes up there and moves in with his uncle up there and made a deal with his uncle and ended up with, what's her name? Rachel. Wasn't it Rachel? And he sees Rachel and he says, ooh, I get to have her. And he says, hey, Laban, I'd like to have your daughter. Well, now Laban played him a little bit. See, it was good for Jacob to get played. Jacob got played and might have helped him out, and he ended up with Leah.
Yeah.
And Leah, he gets in the tent with her, and then the next morning he's like, whoa! Now, he waited 7 years for that. Then he says, I want Rachel. No, he got Leah right off, didn't he?
Yeah, Leah right off.
Ah, yeah, I had it messed up. He got Leah right. I wanted Rachel. Well, in our custom, we can't give away the second born. The firstborn's got to go first. Well, if I'd have known that, I'd have asked for both. You know, that's probably what he was thinking.
Yeah.
Well, he ended up, he had to work, though. 7 more years to get Rachel. Man, he wanted her bad. And then the story goes, and finally, and the Lord blessed him through all the cattle. Laban got mad about it. He's like, well, you know, you're just growing your cattle herd. And he said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, let's do it this way. And the Lord still blessed him. He was coming around, but he hadn't quite, he was still doing some things his way. Until he finally says, you know what, we got to get out of here, let's go. Time to go home. He goes home, heading back home. But the whole time he's going home, go over to the book of Genesis. Whole time he's going home, what's he got waiting for him at home?
Oh, Brother Esau.
He got Brother Esau. He got Brother Esau waiting for him at home. You know that's ringing in his head. My brother's waiting for me at home. The last time I saw Esau, I'm going to kill you. Mm. Now, he's still playing a little bit of games. He got Rachel back here in the back with him. He's got Leah in the middle of the group. And then he's got his other servants up in the front. In his mind, Esau comes riding up here with his army. He said, they'll kill them, and they might kill them, but we'll be able to get away. Yeah. Now, that was wrong. He shouldn't have been thinking that way. He should have been out front.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
To be honest with you. But anyway, he didn't. He was thinking of himself again. You see, verse 22. Chapter 32 of Genesis. Verse 22. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. Now, there's a lot to be said with us being left alone.
Amen.
There ain't nothing like being left alone where we can get to talking with the Lord.
Yes.
Man, when we are alone, and I'm going to tell you something. In this day and time, we have a hard time getting alone time. It's tough to get alone time because, you know, and I don't have it with me because we're recording differently now. Smartphones. Oh, we get alone, and boy, we'll go somewhere. We're alone. We got that phone, though. Oh, we'll put it on vibrate because, you know, you don't want to interfere. So you're reading, and you're reading there, and you're just getting into what the Lord wants you to see, because it's on vibrate, and you're like, oh, that's Betty Lou. I need to talk to her. Well, now you done got off the track of where you was at.
Yes, sir.
No, we need to get some alone time with the Lord. We need to put the phone away, turn it off, put it out of the room, get some alone time with the Lord in order for us to hear. You see, that's why he had Jacob do what he did. Jacob thought he was doing it his way. The Lord had done worked it out. He said, now I'm going to get you alone.
Yes.
We're going to talk. And oh, did they? You ever wrestled with God? Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You really get serious and wrestle with the Lord, sometimes there's scars from it. I've got some scars from it. It'll leave you with limps. It'll leave you with things that hurt. And really, that's what took place. Oh, he says, and he took it. Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Here they are wrestling. Now, I don't know if it's wrestling in his mind. I don't know if he's wrestling physically. I'm going to lean on the side he was wrestling physically. There was another being there wrestling with him, and honestly, I'll go ahead and give you a hint. It was Jesus. That's who he was wrestling with. And it says here, it said, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him. Basically, Jesus wasn't, I mean, he could have just got up and walked away. But he was doing it for a purpose. And it said when he saw that he hadn't prevailed against him, and where was that? 25. He touched the hollow of his thigh. Only Jesus could do that is reach down in there and touch that hollow in your thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. He still kept going. And he said, let me go. Now, can you hear that, Jesus? Let me go. I got to go. And Jacob's like, no, I ain't letting you go. He said, the day breaketh, and he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Jacob is worried in his mind. He's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. This is weighing on his heart that he's got to meet Esau pretty quick. He's wrestling with the Lord. And there they are on the ground, and all of a sudden now his joint's out of his hip. It's all messed up. You ever had your joint out? That don't feel good. And I walked into a chiropractor one time. He said, what'd you do? I said, well, I was breaking a horse. He said, no, she broke you. I said, well, you know, he was wrestling with him. Would not let him go. He said, I want blessings. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Even though the Lord has blessed us through our lives, even though we were doing it our way and the Lord was allowed, we ought to say, hey, Lord, I need a blessing. I want blessings from you. And the Lord will wake you up. He woke up Jacob, touched the hollow of his thigh. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Now, listen, Lord knew who that was. But he wanted him to say it. He wanted him to humble himself to him and say, Jacob, I'm messed up, but I'm Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. In other words, I'm giving you a new name, Jacob. I'm changing your life. You see, if we want to change in our lives to get off of ourselves, what we've got to do is say, Lord, bless me. And I'll tell you, when we start asking the Lord to bless us, we start getting that relationship with the Lord, things are going to change. There'll be some changes that come over our life, and they're good. And he says, and I like this. And Jacob asked and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it thou that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Oh, I might as well read that one. Therefore, the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. So here Jacob was. He showed up over there. He's in pretty good health. Jacob's been working for, 14, 20 years somewhere in there with Laban, his uncle. He's had to get out there and do work. He's doing pretty good. I got him some muscles in there. He wasn't at home. Mama wasn't babying him. He got a wife. Well, he ended up two wives. So, listen, with one wife, you got to work hard enough. I'd imagine having two. Why would anybody want more than one wife? It just blows my mind. I hear these people that are around here and up there in Utah had 50 wives. I'm thinking, what is wrong with you? You know, I got one. I messed up and got a female dog, too. Now I got two females in the house against me all the time. But I told you how to stay out of the doghouse. You let your dog live in the house with you. Then when she boots you out, you're right there with the dog. And I may get booted out. So here he was. He walks over. They forded this river. They get over there. He puts them down. He sends them away. Now he's alone and he's doing fine. But then when he left like this. Let me tell you something. When we get serious with God, sometimes we, especially when you say no.
All right, now.
You know, the Lord asked me one time to preach. That was 1996. I said, no. Oh, that ain't, yeah. That wasn't the smartest thing to ever say. That's kind of like when your wife says something to you. Oh, hush. You don't want to say that. It is not a harmonious outcome to go that route. Listen, it's not a harmonious outcome when you say no to God. When God is wanting us to do something, don't say no. If anything, say, well, you know, leave it to well, because he's still working. But when you say no, that just gives an open door. I'm going to tear your hind end up. Go ahead. That's what he thinks. Listen, when I said no to my dad, that wasn't good. Yeah, Brother Will goes, there's more than once I was thinking, boy, that wasn't smart. You know, my dad didn't pull no punches. He didn't play around. When he sir, yes, sir, no, sir. I got my hind end tore up more than once because I did stupid things. You see, it's the same way. God takes care of us in that manner. He got a hold of Jacob. And Jacob got his life together. Now, he's still done some crazy stuff when you read about him, but none of us are perfect.
Amen.
Listen, we all mess up. But nonetheless, Jacob was really looking at it differently now. He was trying to do things God's way, and he got them out there in the front. He put the servants in the front. He put Leah in the middle, and he put Rachel in the back, and then here he come along back there. Dagging along. And you know how stupid you feel when you're like this and what you thought was going to hurt you don't? He felt dumb when Esau rode up. Esau run up and hugged him. Basically told him, he said, I love you, man. You're my brother. Now, the Moabites were not the best people in the world, which is who that come from. But at that day, the Lord blessed Jacob. Now, that verse I read over in Hebrews, he was leaning. That's why he was leaning on his crutch. Because the Lord, he wrestled with it. See, the Lord wanted to get his life right. You see, sometimes we need to look back. I look back now, and I'm like, I used to ask myself, why did this happen in my life that cost me?
Yes, yes.
Why did that take place in my life that now I've got shoulder issues? How come my ankle's got screws and plate and junk in it? It's all because I wanted to do it my way. But there's God's way.
Yes. Tell it.
And the Lord, every now and then, I limp. You guys know that. I limp when I come in. Right now, I can pick my shoulder up about that high because I hurt it the other day. But I got wire in there. You know why? Because I was doing things my way. And the Lord says, I'm going to teach you something.
Yes.
You need to do it my way. You
yes.
See, when we go about it, the Lord will let you go for a certain amount of time your way, but eventually he's going to wake up and he's going to say, hey, I want you to do it my way.
Yes, say it.
And it's good. It's good for us. He was leaning on that, but I want you to understand something. You see, the Lord was with Jacob all his life. He blessed Jacob. When you read about Jacob, he took care of Jacob. But it wasn't until Jacob humbled himself and depended on God that God truly blessed him and really used him. You see what Esau gave up by his birthright? Who did Jesus come through? Israel. Jacob. He could have come through Esau's line. But he didn't, because Esau was more worried about the material things in life. You see, in our life, there's some times that the Lord says, oh, this is what I got planned for you. If you'll just turn a little bit more that way, and we don't. And the Lord's like, you could have done this, but no. You see, Esau lost all of that blessing that the Lord had for him because he was so wrapped up with materialism that he couldn't see the importance. You see, we get wrapped up in the world. See, to truly be used of the Lord. That 1996, a guy walked up to me. He was my pastor. He walks up to me, and I was leading singing. And I had been working, me and Sandy was working with the youth. And I was rodeoing some, skipping church here and there. My kids were rodeoing, two of them were, and we'd skip church and do that. And he comes up to me and he said, Brother Jim, he said, I ain't the Lord want you to preach. And I'm like, what? Me? No. But I'm going to be honest with you, I knew what he had said. And I knew what he said was true. And I'm like, uh-uh. No. And the Lord bugged me about it. And I'm like, No, no. I got different ideas in my life. I got this I'll serve you. But no, preaching, no. I'm going to have to give up way too much. I got to change things to do that. I got to quit this. Oh, heavens, I got to quit that. Oh, and I got to give up doing this. I got, no, wait a minute. This is adding up quick. This ain't good. You know, really, that's the way I was looking at it. And the Lord said, okay. And he left me alone for a long time. 2006 is when he started dealing with me again. Now, in between there, I got strung out on some drugs and started drinking some more because it drowned all that out. You see, it changed my thinking. Man, I'd be going down this highway right out here they call I-15, higher than a kite, driving a tractor trailer. And I had my own rig, so I'd go as fast as I wanted to. Driving down the highway, And when it come across my mind about preaching, I'd turn on some Lynyrd Skynyrd, Call Me the Breeze, or get some AC/DC on, or some Hank Jr. I had to drown that out. It's like, now you can turn it up loud enough, you can drown it out. You don't have to worry about hearing it no more. You see, when the Lord calls you, He's being serious. When He leaves you alone, He's being serious. Finally, after some surgeries, after some concussions, and after my last surgery, after I wrecked a big rig, I said, you know what? Okay. All right. But I do have a limp. I do have some parts of my body that are foreign. And, you know, they were added to me. I didn't need them. But the doctor decided, yeah, you do. And so now I carry around. That's why I weigh so much. Because all the junk I got in there. And I said, okay, I'll listen to you. I will. I'll listen. Listen, I cannot tell you what a blessing it was to finally say, okay, what a burden come off of me to say, I'll do it your way. Man, it was, and I didn't really realize what blessings were until I humbled myself before the Lord. See, to be truly blessed of the Lord, to truly have the awesome power of God in your life, in your home, in this nation, or in the church, real blessings from the Lord, we've truly got to humble ourselves.
That's right.
We got to have a right heart.
Yes, sir.
We got to do things God's way, not our way. I still, every now and then, I want to do it my way. I'm like, are you sure it won't work better if I go this route? No. You need to do it my way.
Amen.
It always brings up the Bible. God said, what did the Bible say? You know, what's the Word say? Okay. And it don't always look good on paper. It don't always sound great. But He says, you do what I tell you to do. It works out a lot easier.
Amen.
But we all still fight with it.
Yeah, that's right.
And people say, you know, evil is so powerful. It is. Listen, temptations, and when I say the evil is powerful, let's look at it this way. Satan's temptations is powerful. The world's offers are powerful. They really are. And they weigh on us. And we want to do it for their children, or we want to do it for the husband or the wife, or we want to do it for our finances or whatever. They're all very powerful. But what we need to remember, so is God's power and His love.
Amen.
You see, God's power and His love, when we really realize what we've got a hold of. You see, I didn't have that power at my disposal years ago. And then when I did get saved, I did not realize what kind of power I had at my disposal at any given time. Lord, help me.
Help me.
Here's Peter.
Yes.
Can I come to you on the water? Yeah, get out of the boat. There he went. Now, don't criticize him too much. He walked quite a ways. We ain't real sure how far he walked. But he walked far enough, and he got pretty close to Jesus, and then he went, ooh, this ain't good. You ever had that feeling? This ain't good. But guess what? That's what he did. He stepped out. He walked on the water, and he realized, oh, no, what am I doing? Save me. And the Lord said, picked him up. You see, He's there for us when we step out. But what He wants us to do is do it His way. And you might fail. But He'll pick you up. And if you're doing it His way, trust me, you're going to feel a lot better about failing than if you're doing it your way and you fail, because somebody's going to be there to say, told you so. Oh, I hate that. My wife says, I told you should have turned back there. Ooh. You watch, I'll crawl over this curb, but we'll get there. I'm in a truck. I can do it. No. You see, if we'll just do it, if we just give in as obedient children to the Lord, because listen, if we're to this stage in our life, we're God's child. And if we'll just give in to and be obedient children, it is amazing what he'll do for us. Man, the times I've given in to the Lord and just said, okay, I'll do it your way, it's like, oh, wow, why didn't I do that a month ago? You know, how come I just didn't, how come I wasn't obedient that away a month ago? It would have been so much easier. We just got to remember, yeah, Satan's powerful. He is. The temptations out there, they're powerful. But God's more powerful. He is more powerful, and he loves you more than this world can ever dream of. He loves you more than the devil does. Listen, the devil don't give a rip about you. The devil wants to destroy you. And now, once you're saved, the devil says, well, I can't destroy them. But I can ruin their testimony to where it'll destroy this neighbor over here that ain't saved. Or this sister or brother or a child that ain't saved. That's exactly what happens. You see, we don't always see or understand the total outcome. Amen. By me going the wrong direction, years ago, I'll give you an example. By me going the wrong direction when the Lord called me, I had a son that married, okay, I'll say it. She was inane. Look it up. She was just evil. About destroyed his entire life. My daughter married an unsaved man who's still unsaved. Now, he treats her good, takes care of her. He goes to church, but he just ain't saved that we know of. So it's like by me not going the route that God wanted me to go, it took me a different route, which honestly, I had my wife. Oh, it caused me and her some problems, some arguments, and close to divorce. But nonetheless, we come out of it okay. But I got two children that didn't come out of it the best in the world. If I had to went a different route, I would have ended up saying, okay, Lord, I'll preach. And I had two children still at home. And I'd have been a pastor somewhere or a missionary in some foreign field somewhere, who knows, doing what the Lord wanted me to do. But I chose to do it my way. Now, I don't know what it would have turned out. But I'm just saying, by me going this route, I can look back now and I can say, because of the route I took, it messed their lives up. Because those 10 years that I ran from the Lord, because I didn't surrender to his will until 2006. That was 10 years. By me going that route, it cost my two children. Not really me, but it cost them. You see, that's where the Lord gets a hold of us. He says, hey, you got some scars and you're going to limp from it, but what would their life have been if you'd have been where you should have been? So we need to be careful when we decide to make a choice and say, should I do it my way? Or maybe, well, look, it's real simple. Say, Lord, what would you have me do? And open it up and read.
Yes.
Trust me, you'll find it. And he'll tell you what. Yes. A guy told me one time, an old pastor of mine, I said, how do you know what I'm going to do is the right thing to do? He said, I'll give you a real simple answer. He said, and it don't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. He said, is what you're going to do going to glorify God or not?
Oh, all right now. All right.
And I said, well, not really. I didn't want to hear that.
Yeah.
But that's true. So I've kind of looked at it that way. When I'm out here in my life doing things, I'm like, is that going to glorify God? Same, it's like, no, nah, I already answered the question. The Lord says, no. You know that little voice in there said, not really. You know, I mean, you can say it will, but not really. That tells me, I don't need to do that. So I don't know if it was for one person or 30 people or whoever's going to hear it on sermon audio, but I can tell you this, it applied to my life and still does. I can't do it my way. There's still some times I want to do it my way, and my wife says, no, you can't do that. You know, she reminds, the Lord uses wives.
Yeah.
They do. You guys are top of the list when it comes to straightening out a husband. You know, she'll say, no, you're not. Really? No, you're not. It's true. I was down there at the show, cowboy thing. Man, they got a Traeger down there. It's a grill. That thing is, it's this wide on the inside. And he's wanting me to cook. You can pick your phone up and dial it in and from Vegas and tell it to turn on.
Oh, man.
So when you get there, you can throw the meat on it. Or if you can't get there, you call her up and say, throw the meat on it. And I said, oh, yeah, I'd like to have that. She said, no, you wouldn't. She said, we don't need but the little bitty one you got. And she's right. I don't need that big one. You know, the Lord uses them, and we need to listen to our spouses because he does. But when we decide, we say, well, this is what I want to do. Ask the Lord, is it going to glorify you? And I'm going to be honest with you, you'll get an answer that quick. That's one you don't have to wait on. Because immediately it says, oh, no, that wouldn't glorify God, would it? Don't do it. Let's stand.
Amen.
Every head bowed and every eye closed.